Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Ringside Report MMA. Tonight on the show, we're previewing UFC Austin Cater versus Emmett. We're talking Jiří Procházka, the new UFC light heavyweight champion. We got James Boom Boom Mancini. Let's go.
Let's go.
Okay. You guys always saying let's go. Always saying let's go. Whoa. Here we go. We got the boys. There's Fred. There's AJ. There's me. And let's go to our guest right away. What are we wasting time for? We got James Boom Boom Mancini joining us.
Boom Boom in the house.
Good buddy, friend of the show.
Hola, amigos.
What's up, man? How are you?
What's up? Yeah, life is good, man. Life has been crazy since I've officially gone into retirement. And I'm not as blessed as you are with all those kids you're having for us there. But I'm proud of you, Dave. And hi, Fred. And what's up, Anthony? Good to see you on the street. I run into Anthony on the street, man. This guy, he's always getting street meat, this guy.
I don't know what you mean by that exactly. I don't want to touch that. I'm going to leave that one alone. James?
Hey, listen, I was going to say not as much as James, man. James is living la vita bella, man.
So, James,
trying, man.
What's happening? You're like Montreal's Brendan Schaub right now. You retire from MMA, you become a comedian, you become a YouTuber. It's amazing. What's happening right now? You're about to go on stage?
Yeah, I'm here at the Deli Planet for MTL Comedy Club. If you want to go, shout out to MTLComedyClub.com, who really got me going. Yeah, 2019, I did a few shows. As you guys know, I hosted. I was always comfortable doing commentary, always comfortable doing ring announcing or announcing for wrestling events, whether it be fighting. And yeah, a couple of shows in 2019 while I was still fighting. It was difficult, but I just kind of messed around with it, nothing serious. And then, pandemic happened, kind of sitting home and was that guy who was like, hey, I can do this, you know, and started hitting up promoters again and got really into it last summer. So yeah, and the YouTube show is still, we always kind of do that to keep my MMA stuff fresh, trying to follow you guys, Dave, and everything you've done. I obviously look up to you in that area. You know, you guys work so hard at it. But yeah, it's tough to get that going, but it's led to so many other projects. Obviously, interviewing fighters has led me to book some really cool gigs. It's like a ring announcer for Box KO. Shout out to Box KO Saturday this weekend, June 18th. At Le Rink, they're having a huge amateur fight in collaboration with the Grant Brothers Boxing. So that's going to be super cool, and shout out to them. And so just ring announcing commentary. I commentate for Samurai MMA, which is the new big MMA league here in Quebec. And of course, I'm still doing my interviews for XMMA, which happens in the U.S. down south. We got a show July 23rd in South Carolina. I'll be there backstage doing my interview thing. Stand-up comedy. And anything in between, I guess.
Well, that's awesome, man. And it's great to see you, you know, staying in the MMA world, you know, with Samurai MMA and XMMA. Tell me a little bit about Samurai MMA. We don't talk about them enough on this show, and I feel like we need to give them a little bit more shine because they are doing big things, you know. This is the MMA brand in Montreal right now. You know, TKO doesn't seem to be a thing anymore, and Samurai has taken the place, mm-hmm. and they're doing consistent shows, and they seem like they're doing good shows with quality fighters. Is Samurai MMA, and you know what are you seeing from them that you like?
Well, first of all, I'm so humbled that the legends at Ringside Report are they want to talk some local MMA.
Of course,
that's great, man. I know you guys were huge supporters of TKO and Stéphane Patry and everything that they did here in Quebec. So thanks to you guys for that, because you guys always gave me a platform when I was fighting, especially my world title fight. That was super cool. And now, obviously, you see Malcolm Gordon and some of those guys are in the UFC and doing great things. Yep. So, again, a big league. As for Samurai, they had one show during the pandemic. It was really rough for them to get started just because, you're an up-and-coming league. You're having your inaugural show. And what you want to do is have a lot of O&O fighters. As you guys know, the Federation here in Quebec, not saying anything bad. I love Quebec. I love the Federation. But they're very strict. They're very stingent.
Yeah.
If you're going to compare it to what happens down in Florida, what happened, you know, obviously we know infamously Jacksonville were the first to put on shows for UFC. So, yeah, man, really tough for a show, but ended up being amazing. Production-wise, turnout-wise, if you guys want to come check it out, the next show's in September. You'll see a lot of the same production because he was the same team, Eric Pedneau and all those guys that were working with TKO. So you're going to have the flash, the flare, the walkouts, the screens, beautiful venues. You're going to have all that stuff. As for the fights, again, the first one still turned out to be great. Alex Morgan headlined. He had a huge win for the title. They had title fights on their first show. The second show, the one that I commentated, man, we were able to have some pro debut guys, guys like Mehdi Zaidvan, guys like Tommy Morrison, man, guys like Yannis Azal, guys that were huge, huge up-and-comers at a TriStar gym were able to get their debut. And, you know, they didn't all win, man. Yannis lost to a Mexican fighter. There were some tough guys, some really good fighters from France. They hit a club there that brought about 3-4 fighters. So it was just a great show all around, up and down. You know, guys that were making their debuts, guys that were international fighters, and again, guys that are trying to make it to the show. So it had a lot of flair and a great show. And again, the I don't know if you saw my Instagram highlight, Jamie Boom Boom Instagram. I called the within 10 seconds, there was almost a double KO. So it was just insane between Jeremy Caponi and, oh my God, the guy from Hungary. I can't remember his name now. Robert Series. That was crazy. It was Series getting the win.
Yeah, and I'm seeing your Instagram. You're all over the place. You're doing all sorts of stuff. We're going to plug your Instagram. We got to plug your YouTube channel and everything, you know. You're doing big things all over, and it's great to see. It's great to see you, you know, post-MMA career just doing so much and staying so active, you know. It's really cool to watch you, you know. I'm in awe of everything you do, Jamie Boom Boom. You're amazing, man.
Well, Dave, James, like I was telling Anthony. Listen. Yeah, yeah.
I was gonna say when you hit the big time, man, don't forget to drop some money on Ringside Report, man.
Of course.
Show some love, man.
I was telling Anthony, Dave, you're someone I look up to. You're someone that went against the grain from day one, whether it be pro wrestling, whether it be MMA. You stuck with us from the beginning, and that's not forgotten. And of course, for myself, it's just a time where I really get to, I think, be myself. You know, like if I could do it all over again, I think the only thing I would have done is I would have maybe been out there a little bit more, because as you guys know, I trained with Victor Zoldman and Faraz Sahabi, two guys who are, an old saying is all business.
George.
So, yeah.
George. Do you still train as much?
Not as much, no. But I still try to keep, like, for example, another guy I train a lot with is Tommy Morrison. I still try to, he's someone that's 1-0 now at my weight class, and he's someone that helped me through my last training camp. So I'm staying with him. I try to, you know, I'm in there with Eamon when I can. It's hard to spar and stuff. I don't spar as much, but I definitely I'm following Georges St-Pierre. I'm trying to stay in the best shape as I can. I don't know. I don't want to gain weight, Fred, man. Come on. We need you in the gym, man. Where are you, buddy?
I'm in the gym.
Well, James, you know what's interesting?
Friends in the gym with me. We're at 10th Planet these days. We're having a good time
over
there.
Let's go.
Yeah, we're doing good.
Good for you guys, man.
Yeah, it's fun.
But like I was talking with James, like you know, and we said something which is pretty interesting. It's one thing when you're like at a certain age, you can go hardcore, like, you know, but the body like takes a beating over time. Like it's not like a regular like working out at the gym. You know, when you're wrestling, you're doing jiu-jitsu, you're doing boxing, Muay Thai, whatever. It takes a toll, man. And it comes to a certain point where you still want to do the sport, but you can't give that 110% like you used to. And that's the thing. You know, you're always going to be part of that sport, James. You know, you were a great ambassador to Montreal. You did so much, man, in wrestling, MMA, jiu-jitsu, everything, man. Everything that you touched, your name was there, man. And you fought some big names. You were on some big cards. You were on, like, you know, you name it, UFC, TK, or whatever. But it comes to a point where you got to expand from there, because you can only wrestle and do MMA and all that kind of stuff for so long. Like you said, George is a good example. This guy right now is doing really, really well, and he looks phenomenal. But you know what? How long of a career can you take a beating? And you can see that in some guys in the UFC, man. It doesn't look good for them, like for the future, you know? So
For sure. Tough, I think, man. Anthony, I think your audio came out. Was it just me or?
Yeah, he dropped out there. We'll bring him back.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, so again, just
to, I said?
Yeah, we got you, AJ.
Heard it all. Heard it all. But just to kind of relate on that point, one thing I always said was I don't want MMA to make me retire or quit. I want to retire on my terms. And I tell guys, man, like, you got to use the platform that you had, whether if you're an 0-0, 1-0 pro fighter, or if you're George St. Pierre. It's all about, you know, it's all about using whatever you have and kind of expanding on it. You don't have to be, not everybody's George St. Pierre. And we see, and again, there's great examples at BTT. There's Patrick Cote, and some guys really did well for themselves after their career. And you don't have to be a UFC fighter or a UFC contender to kind of make something of yourself. I think it's just about being smart and opening yourself up to the universe, so the universe opens itself up to you and taking the opportunities. So that's what I try to do. I don't really, I'm not trying to compete with George in terms of what I'm doing after my career. I never competed with anybody. It's just about what I can do and how to better myself.
And let's talk a little bit about your stand-up. How often are you getting up on stage? How far are you trying to take this, man? You trying to take this to, you know, Joe Rogan, Chris Rock type levels? I'll tell you, Chris Rock, let Will Smith try to slap Jamie Boom Boom. That's not going to turn out too well for him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. I thought I'd have to train anymore, but Will Smith put me right back in the gym, man. man, it's like you guys know me. I go in stuff with my heart. I go in stuff 100%. And at first, when you're doing it on the scene, you know, I'm not delusional. I'm not one of those guys that, hey, I'm going to be on Netflix within a year. Brendan Schaub, sorry. No, he had his push.
Yeah.
He had his push.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not knocking him. Maybe he went before he was ready. I still respect the hustle. It's just I was realistic, and I know the scene is really tough, just like MMA. So I'm just grinding it out. And at first, the first quarter of the year last year that I started comedy, which was in the summertime, end of the summer, I think it was like a lot of pressure. Like you got to write every day, you got to train every day, you got to get up as much as you can. And you start realizing you only get so much stage time, and I'm someone that needs to be practicing what I preach. So at this point, man, I'm not putting too much pressure on myself. I just want to get a really solid 7, maybe 12 minutes. So any comedy club anywhere I go knows that they can count on me to get some laughs in the short term. And that was my short term goal. My long term goal, I said within 2 years. So by next year, the summer this time, I want to be able to open for somebody pretty big. I want to be able to do 20 minutes. And I know it's a crazy goal right now, but I want to be able to have a good 20 minutes. And then you never know. We've got another comedian here, Peter Bowen, man, just walked in. Peter, come say hi to Ringside Report.
Peter, what's up, man?
We're on Ringside Report Radio. This is Peter Bowen, a great comedian here, man.
Another
great
Peter, what's
comedian.
Up?
What's
man?
Up, Peter?
They're walking in as the show starts here in about 10 minutes.
There you go.
Peter,
all right. Yeah. So
heard that big James, man. James, take him down. Single.
No, he's got listen, focus. Just, we got show attention for you.
Listen, just quickly before you go, I wanted to say that we put a video of yours up on TikTok, the UFC fighter versus the Street Fighter, James versus Massimo. That clip is one of the funniest I've ever seen, man. And, you know, we got, like, a ridiculous amount of, like, views on that. But let me tell you, man, you should do more of that shit because it's funny.
I know, man. It's you know, putting out content, as you guys know, is the hardest thing. People think content creators is easy stuff, man. It's like, well, we're talking about this, Anthony. You know, being a comedian now, I'm in the process where, hey, do I spend all my time thinking about cool skits or do I practice my stage time? You know, it's like, do I spend all my time doing arm bars or do I practice striking? Mm-hmm. You only have so many, you know, things. Same thing. It's really tough. But yes, so thank you, Anthony, for reminding me. If I shout out to Massimo, super funny comedian. He's a full-time actor on The Moody's with Dennis Leary. So, such a funny guy, such a good actor, talented guy, great comedian. And yeah, he was really the, you know, the brains behind that skit. So shout out to him. And it's tough, man. Just to let you guys know, it's like I wish that, you know, I had a coach that could, like, you know, tell me what to do all day long. But like I think right now, like I said, the focus, I just want to be good on stage so that, you know, if I ever do skits or if I ever do do commentary or interview, people actually know me from something. You know, I'm not just that guy who did a funny skit, you know.
Just before we let you go, I wonder, like, who are some of the guys that you like that make you laugh? Like, who inspired you to kind of get into comedy? Who did you kind of grow up watching, and who do you watch today?
Yeah, I really like, obviously, Richard Pryor. I really like Eddie Murphy. But then recently, for some reason, because I'm such a high-energy guy, I'm such a, like, a physical comic. I'm a little bit, you know, obviously you guys could see I'm kind of speak a mile a minute. I've got, like, kind of rapid fire jokes. I like watching people who are the opposite of me. You know, I like watching guys like, you know, Nate Bargatze or guys like John Mulaney who are just, like, you know, kind of slow pace, witty guys, great writers, don't really swear or anything. I like that because it just teaches me that, hey, even though I go a mile a minute, you can still set up a joke and wait for the crowd to laugh. That's one thing I'm learning right now. So anybody who's like the opposite of me, I just appreciate watching them so much. But on the Montreal scene, we're really spoiled, man. We got like, so Sugar Sammy's here. His brother, Sid Cooler, is the one who runs Montreal Comedy Club, is the one that books me, which is why I get to open for Sugar Sammy so much here in Montreal, which is so cool. Kashid Badawi, Just the local guys are like, it's a strong scene here. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah,
well,
and
you sorry. If, go ahead, AJ. Go ahead.
I was going to say, is Eddie King part of that show as well?
So Eddie King, he came on. He made an appearance. He doesn't do too much English. But he came on. And
well,
the
listen.
Guy is, he's another guy. Shout out to him. So funny.
You know he's a BTT guy, eh? He was training at BTT. You know, we used to do Muay Thai together. So,
dude, I started striking. I started striking at 29 years old. I started striking from wrestling. And Eddie King was one of the first guys to beat me up. But I have to say, it was at BTT in Santa's class. And he was good to me.
Yeah,
he was
yeah.
nice to me. I'm just kidding. But yes, he was one of the first guys to be like, hey, you know, if you really want to strike. And funny enough, 10 years later, or no, 8 years later, I see him on the street when he's doing Just for Laughs. And then he's guiding me the same way. Hey, now you want to do comedy. This is how you do it. So he kind of guided me in both realms. So huge shout to Eddie King. Yeah. But on the French side, he is a killer.
Yeah.
There you
amazing,
go. Jamie
man.
Boom Boom Mancini. When can people see you, man? When can people see you, this boxing show? When and where?
I'm going to send you.
Yeah.
I'll send you a link tomorrow. There's a great show at the Third Floor Comedy Club, which is right upstairs from Sogi's. That's at 7 p.m. I'll send you guys the link. If you go on my Instagram, I'll send it to you anyway. I'll text it to you now, Dave. Huge show tomorrow. And then Saturday night, if you guys want to check out some cool amateur boxing, Box KO, go to Box KO events. Or, it's at LaRink. So I'll send you that link too. And then I'm ring announcing that one. So you'll see me up there. It's time. No, I don't do that. But.
Man. You do it all. You're like Bruce Buffer. You're doing comedy. You're doing everything, man. Fantastic. I love it. Come back on our show again soon. Have a great set tonight. And we'll talk to you again real soon, man.
I love you
guys.
Bye, Fred, Dave, AJ. You know it. Bye,
there
guys.
He is.
Brother.
There he is. The man, Jamie Boom Boom Mancini.
Wow,
doing it big.
Man.
Great to have him back on the show. Great to talk to him. Haven't seen him in a while. Look at him. He's a stand-up comedian now. It's fantastic.
It's crazy, man. And listen, what's crazy about it all is like Rashid Bhaduri. I sat with Rashid,
nice.
Man. You know, he knows our show. Eddie King, man. I trained with Eddie King for the longest time. And it's what's interesting is that there's so many guys. Like even Rashid was doing boxing and all that kind of stuff. But it's interesting how everything sort of ties in, man. It's like there's something with fighting and comedy that usually it's weird. It kind of comes hand in hand.
Yeah. And we kind of deliver the same stuff. Like me and Fred, we talk about fights and you're kind of a clown. So it works out, right?
Exactly, man. Chokes and jokes, man. Did you get that when I said it?
Yeah. No, what?
Chokes
what
and jokes,
about.
Man. Make
chokes
a t-shirt of that.
AJ,
I'm pretty sure you stole that from somebody.
Nah, I didn't steal it from nobody. It's AJ, proprietary. Write it
go,
down, Dave.
Go check James
your
out.
Letters, man.
Go check James out tomorrow night for
Freddie,
some for
I'm
some for some
struggling
comedy.
With my camera, man.
Here, I'll plug James's stuff while you guys figure it out.
In the camera, man.
James is going to be performing tomorrow night at 2015 Crescent on the Third Floor Comedy Club. Show starts at 7 p.m. if you're in the Montreal area. Tomorrow night, 2015 Crescent, the Grand Prix Comedy. Go check out James Boom Boom. And then on Saturday night, he's doing ring announcing for Box KO, which will be
he's busy,
at LaRink at 8355 Chemin Montview in Montreal. At LaRink, Box KO on Saturday night. He's a busy guy, man. He's out all the time. I would be exhausted if I were him. No wonder he's in the gym. He's got to stay in shape to keep up that schedule. Good God.
Man. It's just like Joe Rogan, man. Look at what Joe does, like his schedule and whatnot. And he's still able to do like MMA, jiu-jitsu. He does wrestling. I mean, the guy, you got to stay physically fit, man, especially in comedy, because when you're at a certain level, man, you're touring all the time. You're probably not eating right. Then you're probably not sleeping right. You know, I'm not going to say you're going to start doing John Jones stuff. I'm like, James, man, don't do the John Jones shit.
What are you talking about? Why did you have to throw? Why did you have to go there with it? It's a weird, turn you made there, AJ. I don't know why it went from you're on the road, you're not eating good, you're having cheeseburgers, all of a sudden you're doing cocaine. I don't know where that came from.
Listen,
is that
man,
just you?
Just
is that
saying,
where your mind would go if you were on the road, left to your own devices? You'd be like, right? That's what would happen.
I'm with AJ.
Freddie, thank you, man. Thank
you're
you.
With AJ?
I went, okay, so I got two ear infections right now, and my doctor gave
what?
Me like a, yeah.
Fred can't hear us.
Otitis.
Yeah.
But anyways, he gave me this two different sprays that go through my nose because everything's connected. And one of those sprays, he told me like, you only think it 3 days. because people get addicted to it. And I'll tell you why people get addicted to it, because when you do it, it gives you the fucking feeling of cocaine.
What?
I'm telling you. I'm just telling you. 100% honest.
What do you mean? Like, it feels like you're high on cocaine?
No, it feels like you just did like two lines and it just clears up everything. And
but is there a high with it associated?
Then you want to start doing comedy.
I don't understand.
It's the same feeling of your of something going down your throat.
I don't like, I don't know. I've never done cocaine. I don't know.
AJ,
I'm not that
AJ
cool.
AJ understands.
Does he understand? I don't think AJ understands either.
Let's ask John Jones, man.
Fred, you volunteered that information on your own. I don't know.
I'm telling you, man.
What?
Yo, wow. It's prescribed by a doctor, man.
I don't want anything up my nose. I'm not interested. let's get back to business here, guys. Let's preview the fights on Saturday. How about that? You want to just get right into it?
Who's fighting? MMA show, man.
Who's fighting? Yeah, perfect, Fred. You deliver some great analysis for this one. Calvin Kattar and Josh Emmett in the main event. How do you like that? Let's go to Fred's parlay. Fred, what do you got?
Bet99.com.
Yeah, go with that, bet with Fred. He's got all the picks. He's been doing research all day. He's ready. Who's fighting? Oh, we run a tight ship. Okay.
I got Josh Emmett.
What? No. I don't like that pick. No, go the other way.
No, I don't like that pick either.
Wrong,
Freddie.
Wrong, Fred.
Underdog, man. Plus 185, man.
Yeah, he's going to lose. That's why he's the underdog. I like Calvin Kattar, and I did a little more research than Fred, so I'll tell you why. Calvin Kattar, a little bit younger than Josh Emmett. I think he's faced higher-level competition. The guy just came off a win over Giga Chikadze over five rounds. Giga Chikadze is one of the best here at 145 pounds. I think Dan Ige is a little bit overhyped.
No, man. Look, he fought. Listen, man. I picked him on the last fight. I thought he was
going to
win.
Lost.
And
I think
he didn't.
Ige,
he lost,
I think people overrate him. I think people overrate Ige.
Man, I don't think so, dude. The guy has everything you can ask for.
I don't want to disrespect Ige, but he's coming. He's lost three in a row. He's lost three in a row. Both of these guys have beat Dan Ige.
Yeah.
Everybody's beaten Dan Ige. I'm not saying Dan Ige is not a tough guy. I'm just saying he's lost three in a row, and Emmett and Kattar have both defeated him. So I don't know why you're throwing his name out there as some sort of great accomplishment of beating
Dan
Ige.
What I'm trying to say is it's not an easy win. He had to win unanimous, but it's not an easy like cakewalk with Dan Ige. So,
but it's not like
beating more weight to Calvin.
It's not
the only thing with Calvin.
No, they both beat Dan Ige, dude.
Josh Emmett beat Ige. Okay, I apologize.
They both did.
I didn't realize
that's what I'm saying, man. Okay. So I'm trying to tell you. You're like, oh, man, Calvin Kattar beat Dan Ige.
I was talking about Kattar,
so you got to show mad respect. And I'm like, well, Ige, I don't know. And I'm like, they both beat Ige. And you're like, no, just Kattar.
Oh, sorry, man.
But they
man.
Both
don't
beat Ige. So stop talking about Ige.
I still like Emmett.
Yeah, all right, Fred.
just go with Emmett, man.
Kattar's good, man. Kattar beat Chikadze. He knocked out Jeremy Stevens. The only guys he's lost to recently are Max Holloway and Zabit, who retired officially, by the way. Hey, that's crazy.
What's up with that, man?
He retired.
Why?
He's becoming like a doctor, I think.
Is that crazy? This guy had so much talent, Zabit the Rabbit. It just doesn't make sense.
He was undefeated in the UFC, 18-1, one of the top-ranked featherweights in the world. Looked like he was going to be a future champion and hasn't fought since November 2019. People were wondering, you know, what the deal was. Apparently, he's training to become a medical doctor of some sort, and he's quit MMA.
Good for him.
Well, good for him, man. You know, but good the luck. Guy had, like crazy amount of talent. We thought he was going to go really far at a certain point, but when I heard the rumors that he was retiring, I'm like, maybe something happened with him physically, because I know at one point he ended up getting COVID and it was like extremely bad. You know, I don't know if these were factors of that made him change his mind, but holy smokes, man. You know, he was entertaining, man.
There he is, Zabit Magomed Sharipov, one of the top featherweights in the world. This is his statement.
Respect.
I know many of you were waiting for my return. There was not a single day that someone did not ask when my next fight was, but I decided to end my pro sports career. Disruptions of fights and then health problems, all this did not allow me to perform fight earlier. I have recovered now, but I don't feel the way I used to. Thank you to everyone who supported me for such a long time. I didn't have to become a champion, but I think even without this, I hope I was able to please / entertain you. I cease to be an active athlete, but I do not leave the sport. I have something and with whom to share my knowledge. So don't say goodbye, friends. Zabit retires officially. Man.
And you know what? I think his health scare that he had with COVID, because he was at a certain point where I think he was like literally on his deathbed. I mean, rumors that were coming out was it was really, really serious. Yeah, I'm telling you, man, it was serious and whatnot. And he just said in a statement, like, you know, it's like due to his health like concerns and whatnot. I mean, that was a great factor. He's not the same, and I can imagine he's not the same. So it's too bad,
I guess
bad,
not.
Man.
It really is too bad because he was a prospect. Man. He was a real prospect to be potentially a champion, and he's retiring. But, hey, you know, it is what it is. All this to say that Calvin Kattar couldn't beat this guy, but I think he will beat Josh Emmett. All right? He beat Giga Chikadze in his last fight, and Giga Chikadze is very good. The fact that Kattar beat him, I was really impressed. I didn't think he'd beat him, and then he did, so... Surprised me. Kattar bounced back really well from that Max Holloway defeat. He looked great in his last fight. Josh Emmett is good.
But
he's on a roll.
Toughest fight, man. Toughest fight to date, man.
What fight?
Against Kattar, man. He doesn't have the stand-up like Kattar. You know,
yeah, Emmett. Yeah, I don't think he does. Yeah, I don't think so. But Fred's picking him. And, you know, Fred knows, all right? Fred's done a lot of research here, AJ. Don't doubt Fred.
Fred's on a roll lately,
man,
so
I'm
you know what?
I'm going to activate AJ mode where I'm just going to remind you for like 10 years.
Minimum.
No, I'm definitely going
with
Kattar.
I was bringing up the Ronda Rousey fight. I called it, man. I called it. I knew
it. Was that like 10 years ago?
Yeah, it was a long time ago. You need a more recent one, you know? Like maybe if you called Juliana Pena over Amanda Nunes or Carla Esparza over Rosa Namajunas. You know, one of those. Maybe if you called one of those, I might give it to you. But
not a Rose one. We know that, man. She got robbed.
Oh, did she? Because Carla's the champion right now. She's got the belt, and she's fighting Weili Zhang next. So I don't know about Rose. Rose seems like she's on the outside looking in. I think Carla's going to win, too. How about that? I think Carla beats Weili. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
No. That's
I think she does, guys. There, all right. We'll see. We'll see.
Damn.
Carla's tricky.
We'll see.
She's a puzzle. She's weird. She's like Machida. You know, it's like, how do you fight her? It's weird. Wei Li had a lot of success against Joanna with wrestling. Good luck doing that to Carla. Can she outstrike her? Maybe. Will Carla take her down?
Yeah, I think
probably.
So.
I don't know, though, because Carla's striking has really gone up a level. I'm telling you, Marina Rodriguez is the best in the division. Carla squeaked by with a close decision win over her, and she got over the hump there, and now she's good. I don't think Rose, Joanna, Weili, or Carla are the best 115 in the world. I think it's Marina Rodriguez. And Carla barely beat her. She squeaked by. And she escaped, you know, what was going to be Weili's destiny, which was going to be Marina just going to the top of division. Like, Marina, had she beat Carla, she would have fought Rose. She would have smashed Rose. And everybody would be like, oh, okay. I see here. Marina Rodriguez. I'm telling you guys, this girl is flying under
Weili's
the radar.
Weili's a better athlete than Carla, I feel. That's where I think she's going to have the advantage.
She might be. But I'm telling you, Marina. Give me that Marina fight. Give me Marina versus Weili.
Not in the picture right now, though.
I know. It's unfortunate. And she got screwed out of the decision with Esparza. Like, it was close. But she lost a split decision to Esparza in July 2020. And she's won every fight since, beating Amanda Ribas, Michelle Waterson, Mackenzie Dern, Yan Zhaonan. Just smashing through the competition. I'm telling you. Marina Rodriguez is the number one. But the thing is, she's 35 years old, so her time is limited. 16-1 as a professional. 16-1. That one is a split decision loss to Carla Esparza. People have no idea that Marina Rodriguez is actually the champion, but she is.
I don't know if I should go there, man. But you mentioned the age, man, and that made me think of Glover. I just want to say, man, let's do that rematch right away, man. Glover's 44, man. You can't wait for him to get that rematch. People are like, should Glover get the rematch? I'm like, man, that was one of the best fight ever. That fight's probably going to be in the UFC Hall of Fame one day. And that fight deserves a rematch. And Glover's 44, man. What, you want him to fight when he's 46, 48? Come on, man. We got to do that rematch now.
Glover or Yan next, right? It's either Glover in a rematch or Yan Blachowicz. And Yan is like in his late 30s, maybe almost 40 at this point too. But I get what you're saying, Fred. I know what you mean.
Give it to Glover.
Listen, man, combined ages, I think they're 81 between Yan and Glover. So that's the thing. They're in their 40s, man. But the thing is that, look.
He's 39.
81 minus 44 doesn't
UFC
equal
275,
40.
Man.
That's
was,
right. AJ's math is terrible. The card. AJ's math is awful there. Your math was way off there, AJ. Yan is 39, first of all, and Glover is 42.
He's going to be hitting 40 any time. That's what I'm trying to say.
44?
I thought Glover was 44.
I thought it was 42.
No, 42. He's 42. 42. That's what I'm saying, man.
Sorry, man. But that fight made him 2 years older, man. That fight was fucking a monster fight.
Yeah.
Listen, that fight was so great.
AJ, you think rematch or what?
Listen, man. You just submitted one of the best grapplers in MMA to date in any organization. Glover Teixeira is a submission master, and he got tapped out by Jiří. And Jiří said it before the fight. He says, even if it goes down the ground, I'm not going to play, man. I'm not going to play the jiu-jitsu game or just the game. If I go down there, it's going to be ground or pound, or I'm going to like really submit someone. I didn't think he could submit Glover. And if you chose Jiří to win this fight and you put down some extra money on a submission, the payout was
sub-round five. You're a millionaire.
Yeah, but that's not what we're talking about the long shot odds or whatever. I don't want to talk about that because whatever.
Rematch.
Yeah, I think rematch makes sense because it was the best fight in the history of the UFC light heavyweight championship division. Like, it was the best title fight I've ever seen at light heavyweight. It was as good as Jones and Gustafsson. You didn't give Gustafsson an immediate rematch, but Gustafsson wasn't the champion. And
he's
Glover doesn't have the time, like Fred is saying, to work his way back up the ladder. Like, Glover doesn't have four fights, two, three more years to, you know, fight a few guys and work his way back up. And you know what? On the climb back up, he may fall. Somebody might get him, and then he doesn't get the rematch. And, you know, that's fighting. These things happen. And I think the fans might be deprived of a second fight between those two. And Jiří, after the fight, was saying how disappointed he was in his performance. He really didn't like the way, you know, how close it was and how much Glover got on him. And he really would like to go back and rework some things. And I think that Jiří wouldn't mind getting another shot at Glover to kind of improve on what he has done and, you know, show a better version of himself. I could see Jiří wanting to take that fight.
But Jiří
and Yan kind of were jawing at each other after the fight. They were saying some things, and it seems like that is the fight that the UFC is going to go towards. I feel like Yan probably gets it. If I were to bet on who's next for Jiří, I would say Yan Blachowicz.
So easily.
I know. I agree with you, Fred. If I were to pick the winner, the fight, I would say give it to Glover again. Let's see it again. But I think the UFC is going to go with Yan because he's just fresher. He's just a fresh opponent.
And you don't want to take away from this fight. You know what I'm saying? Like, this fight, like Fred said, is probably one of the best fights in UFC history or just in MMA history.
Yeah,
it's a Hall of Fame fight. So sometimes you just don't want to have that second fight like we saw Rose with and it being a dud. I just think now, I think you're right. I think Yan's going to get – I think it's going to be a very different
– both guys had so much energy.
I think it's going to be a different setting, Freddie.
It just kept on going. And my biggest surprise, I'll say, is – and I shouldn't have been surprised by that, but Glover did very well standing up. I expected Jiří to be the more dominant guy standing up, but Glover had some very good moments standing up. His striking was very crisp, hurt Jiří a lot. That fight was incredible, man.
It was amazing. And you know what would make it even better? You know what would make it even better? If the next time they did it in Brazil. Could you imagine the Glover fans going insane? That type of fight in Brazil with the Brazilian fans for Glover? I want it in Brazil.
Listen,
that's where I want that fight. Give Glover like his last title fight, win or go home, at home in Brazil in front of his people. It would be they would go nuts. They would go nuts.
Look, I think it's going to be a lot different the second fight. I don't think it's going to go five rounds. I think Jiří is going to come out, step on the gas, and end it, man. Because, you know, let's be honest.
Not
there
in Brazil.
Was a battle.
Not, I think if it's in Brazil, Brazil Glover wins, bro. I'm telling you. Glover will win in Brazil.
It's possible, man.
The people
but
will
I
give
think,
him the power.
I think right now, man, with the type of fight that he fought, that was a lot, man. That emptied the gas tank. I don't think we're going to see the best version of Glover anymore. I think you know, like we said on the last shows.
That's what you thought last week, man. That's what you were saying last week. And look at the fight, man. He almost won.
He almost won.
That was the best fight, man. What a fight.
He got choked out at his best part of his game. And that's the difference. It's hard to come back from that. You got choked out. And not only did you get choked out, you know, I was talking with someone. I was saying there's different types of
decisions. So.
Yeah.
Listen, man, I don't think so, man. I don't think so. I think the edge was
well,
the Jiří
crazy,
going into
man.
That fifth.
Yeah,
all
you're crazy.
Judges, yeah, like you're judging. No, you man. That always bitches about judging, man. You gave the first round to Jiří, but all three judges gave it to Glover. Me and Dave gave it to Glover, but fucking
I don't know
AJ,
they
of
saw
course,
that, man.
Is sure that it was a number one
yeah,
round to,
first
to
round
Jiří,
world.
Man.
The whole world gives the first round of Glover to share, except AJ, because he's got Jiří on his parlay that's already busted for some reason, yet he's still rooting for it. I don't understand.
Listen,
you just
man,
like to be right.
I'm calling it as it is. I'm calling
no,
it as
you're
it
not.
Is. And
you're
you know
not
what?
Calling it as listen, it is. You're calling it as you win. See it, which is crazy. Fred's right.
Hey, listen, man. Listen,
and you're
me
the guy
and
that always
Daniel Cormier, man, called
about
it right.
Judging.
Yeah, exactly. You're always complaining about the judges. Fred's right.
Well, that's
Angelo
right, man.
Knows.
They obviously made a mistake in the first round.
I see Angelo on the chat. What's up, Angelo, member of the team?
I
don't forget to
James
become a member.
Man.
Hey, I'm telling people to become members. Shut up, AJ. Join the Ringside Report.
Man, don't do a Sam Kinison on me, man.
Become a member. Join the ringsidereport.net. Join the ringsidereport.net. Join up like
Join
Angelo
it now.
Did. Join now. Join now! God damn it. Join now, pal. Oh, yeah, Vince McMahon. Damn it.
Best journey,
oh,
man.
Vince.
Anybody
oh.
surprised?
Huh? Vince? No?
Yeah.
Why would you be? Have you seen the man on TV ever? Like, everybody's like all shocked, and I'm like, well,
how
I was kind of waiting for this to happen, no?
How has Vince survived cancel culture all these
he
years?
He hasn't. It's happening now.
I,
he's
I can't
being canceled in the process.
You know what I want?
I been canceled.
I want yeah, well. Vince to go the George Costanza way, to go like, what, was I not supposed to do that? Is that frowned upon? You know when George slept with the cleaning lady?
Yeah.
That's what Vince needs to do. Like, what? I wasn't supposed to do that? I wasn't supposed to double that person's salary?
Yeah.
To get her to not speak?
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to double my girlfriend's salary. I wasn't supposed to use company funds to do that?
Listen, you can make a mistake. You're allowed to.
But no, they're saying that he never used Lauren is saying that he used company money to pay off his latest affair, but apparently they're saying that Vince didn't use company money to pay off the women that signed non-disclosure agreements. He used his personal funds for that, but he did give one of his girlfriends or whatever who worked for the company
double
the salary from $100,000 to $200,000, which is pretty crazy.
That's
you
a
know?
George Costanza, man. I'm giving you a raise.
And Vince is getting investigated for that. Thank you, Grimskull, for the super chat. You're the super chat leader of the night. Best combat sports show on the interwebs. Give him hell, boys. We are giving him hell. Thank you, Grimskull. Raising hell here on the Ringside Report Network every Thursday night, every Friday night with Wrestling Uncensored. I can't wait to hear Johnny North's thoughts on these matters, and I will definitely dive deep into my Vince impression. What do you mean I can't give her $200,000? You see the way she looks? Oh, God. I'm getting excited just talking about it. I'm a genetic jackhammer. I gotta spread my seed, pal. Anyways.
Poor Vince. It's, he's not
more of that tomorrow night. I'm telling you, there's going to be way more of that tomorrow night. I can't. I mean, it is just. It's the end. It's the end of Vince. It's so crazy, but I really think that this is going to take on. I like that John Laurinaitis is implicated in all of this, too. Johnny Ace. And people are saying, he's been greasy for years.
Vince doesn't
and...
like tag teams, usually.
Ooh.
You see, I do research, Dave. I research my Vince topic.
Yeah, I know. You're all in on the Vince stuff. And how could you not be? It is the biggest story going right now. And you know that there was a story last night that broke that they released Sasha Banks. And I swear, they put that out themselves to try and divert attention from the wrestling media to stop talking about Vince and start talking about Sasha Banks. That is totally what they did. That's totally what they do and how they operate. I've been following this company and this man for my entire life, okay? Nearly 4 decades because I'm old AF at this point, okay, guys? You know, 36 plus years on this planet, and I have been following Vince for the majority of those years, and I've been following him very closely, and I've read everything, and I've watched everything, and I've heard everything, and I am not surprised by these allegations whatsoever. I'm surprised it took so long to show up, pal. He's obviously like a Looney Tunes type of guy. You hear so many stories about him. I mean, how could this not happen? I mean, this is a guy who made Trish Stratus bark like a dog on TV. This is a guy who had grown men kiss his bare ass in a Kiss My Ass club. This happened. This is a guy who wanted to involve his daughter in an incest storyline with him where he would turn out to have a child with his own daughter, and his daughter had to veto the idea because she thought it was too messed up. This is no surprise. It's Vince McMahon, damn it. This is who he is. This is who he's always been. But I think it's finally going to take him down.
How come the product's so awful, man? Vince is so funny, but...
Well, he's old now. He's old now. He's a little out of touch. I think he's losing it a little bit, but goddamn, pal. Patrick C. Hamilton dropping to 777. Vince wagged the dog. Yes, indeed. He did with that distraction method there with Sasha Banks. Real smooth maneuver. Oh, everybody's talking about me and my sex life. I'm going to fire Sasha Banks. Let him talk about that. Everybody's talking about how I'm mean to women. Let me fire one. See how they like that one. Fucking hell.
Vinny Mac.
You Hefner style, man.
Oh, shit. He's too much, man. He's too much. It's just classic Vince. It's just always. But I think it's finally going to take him down, you know, and who knows how this is all going to shake out with the WWE, who's going to take charge. But I think he's going to have to step down. They're saying only John Laurinaitis is going to take the heat and they're going to get rid of him and he's screwed, but... I don't know, Vince, the board of directors is investigating Vince. Real suspicious, too, that his daughter, like, left the company, like, a month ago. She's like, I'm going to step away and focus on my family. Anytime anybody with a big job says and doesn't leave for another job and they stop their big job to focus on their family, something's going on. Something's a little fishy. You know, Triple H pulled the same move like 2-3 months ago. He's like, hey, I'm going to step back. I'm going to focus on my health. You know, he was doing all that. And I feel like they knew. Stephanie knew. Stephanie for sure knew. Why did she back away from the company like a month ago? Something happened there. There's something fishy going on with Stephanie and Vince. I don't know. I think it's like a Logan Roy, Siobhan Roy situation if you watch Succession. You know, it's one of those things going on. It's
good times,
it's,
man.
It's
good
crazy.
Ahead,
it
man.
Is crazy. It's, it's shaking up the wrestling world, obviously.
What's he going to do, man, if he's out of the WWE? Like, this guy is going to die, man. He can't do anything else. Can you see him
I'm
as a greeter at Walmart?
Brother, come I'm on. Telling you, I want to tell you guys something, and I'm going to be the only one saying this right now. But it's goddamn true. Dana White better make sure his house is in fucking order because he's next. Okay?
What?
You might be.
Bro.
Come on.
You might be.
You think so, Dave?
Bro.
You got an inside scoop? You got an inside scoop?
Dana White has kids, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard him talk about his wife?
Never.
He's married, you know.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I was almost gonna let the cat out of a bag on someone.
I don't think that's the problem for Vince. I don't think it, because from what I read today, him and Linda haven't been living together for a while, and
that's
they're
not
pretty
the
much
problem.
Like,
but
the problem is the hush money and how he treats people.
Yeah.
And yeah, I could see some story like that happening with somebody else.
Yeah, man, come on,
Dana.
Dana, like, I just think, yeah, I just hope Dana has everything.
The fact that he's married is not that important, man.
No, but there's something about a dude who's married, but it's clearly there's an arrangement there, and there's some other shit going on the side. There's always,
listen,
it's always that, like, what
listen,
the fuck Dave. Is going on in the side? You know what I'm saying? Like, regular dudes like us, non, you know, billionaire dudes, don't get married and then, like, have an arrangement with the wife and you have kids, and then you have this whole other life, like Tony Soprano style. You know what I mean? And,
yeah,
and Vince clearly has that arrangement with Linda. And, you know, from the stories you hear about Dana White, there was that story with the stripper and they were trying to take money away from Dana, right? There was a whole story with a lady who flew to Brazil, right? So there's, you know, there are stories, and that's all true. That's all facts.
Factual.
It was legal, you know? So,
yeah. It's not allegedly.
Know,
it's factual.
Who knows what's going on in that world? You know what I'm saying? It's a greasy world, and there's greasy shit going on. And I'm just saying, you know, I'm not surprised this is happening to Vince. And there are other people in the world that I'm sure it's going to happen to one day if they're not careful.
But you got a point there, because I remember hearing
cancel is not finished.
No, it'll never end. I mean, why would it?
Exactly.
Listen, I was going to say, I heard a rumor way back that Dana never makes his way to Brazil for some reason.
Careful.
I remember hearing that. Listen,
be careful.
Freddie,
let's be careful with what you say with the rumors, AJ.
I heard that he wasn't. Did you ever see Dana going to Brazil in any of the last 10 years of any Brazilian card? He doesn't go down there for some reason.
Yeah,
I think it was because of that exploitation or.
I don't know about that. I think you're making stuff up, you know? But yeah, I will say, like, didn't Brendan Schaub say that, like, he had sexual relations with Ronda Rousey and so did Dana White? Didn't he say that at one point?
I remember he said that. He did say that.
And like, is that appropriate? Is that appropriate as a fight promoter with one of your athletes to be involved in a sexual relationship? I don't know.
Listen, man,
true.
Did you see the way Dana was eyeing Ronda back in the days? We were making fun of that all the time. Dana was like googly eyes over Ronda all
right.
the time.
But I'm saying sometimes when a male is in a position of power, it's not always good to enter in that type of relationship with an employee, you know, because it could get weird. And, you know, with Vince right now, it's getting weird because sometimes, you know, their girlfriend is your employee and she wants a raise. So you give her a $100,000 raise, double her salary,
that's pretty good,
you know,
man.
And then you get investigated for it. And maybe that's your legacy when it's all said and done, you know, and that kind of sucks if you're Vince McMahon, who has done some amazing things for professional wrestling. You got to be a little disappointed if that's how it ends, you know.
I think he's going to
survive the steroid trials. This guy survived everything, man. This ain't
the end. He's
going to
survive this, man.
He's not going to survive. This is it. No. This is it, dude. I'm telling you, this is it. I have seen a lot of things.
Step down or sell? What is he doing? Prediction.
I think he steps down. And then they'll sell.
But he steps down, but still is like the boss behind the scenes.
I don't know.
That's what he'll try.
He'll try that, I think. I think he'll try that, but I don't think it'll work. I think he was trying to do that with Nick Khan. But I feel like Nick Khan has like maybe turned on him. That's what it looks like. Nick Khan has maybe stepped in and trying to take control of the whole thing. That's my theory on it. That's how it looks to me. Is that Nick Khan has come in, snake in the grass, and has kind of taken away from Vince. But I'm not, you know, it's not clear what's happening. Nobody really knows. Everybody's just guessing right now. But there is that story in the Wall Street Journal. And that is crazy.
So what do you think the timeline is before the end of the year? This is all said and done?
6 months? I don't know. I don't know what a timeline. I can't put a timeline on it. I have no idea. I think Johnny Ace will be fired within the next 4 to 6 weeks. John Laurinaitis will be gone soon. And then we'll see about Vince. That's the trickier one.
Vince has to go to court right now this week for his XFL thing. Like, he's getting brought to court because they just closed down the XFLs. So, anyways, Vince has a lot of headaches coming up for him, I think.
Ouch. Yeah. Not looking too good in a lot of ways there for Vince McMahon these days.
Good times, man. We were
trying to preview the UFC Austin show, and we will do that right now. We are ready. It is now time, and I am
we picked the
main event. I've got Calvin Kattar in the main event. So does AJ. Freddie's going to go with Josh Emmett. How about the co-main event, though? Donald Cowboy Cerrone against Joe Lozon. Finally! Man. The battle of the legends.
Finally,
and these two guys in the co-main event. Pretty big. I've got Donald Cerrone. I think he's got more left in the tank than Joe Lozon. Even though Cerrone hasn't won since 2019, I feel like he's got a little bit more left. Cerrone's 39 years old. Lozon's 38. Lozon hasn't fought since October 2019. He did win, but he has been inactive for a while.
Wasn't the last time the fight canceled because of Cerrone? What happened last time when the fight was canceled?
Food poisoning. Cerrone was food poisoned before the fight.
So, like, last time they were supposed to fight, I remember I picked Cerrone. But I regretted it when I picked it because I'm going to go with Lozon. Mostly because I think Cerrone's already maybe retired in his head. Whereas I feel Lozon, he's probably hungry to get a win here. So I'm going to go Joe Lozon. Causing a surprise, winning by decision. I got an underdog parlay coming up soon.
Interesting. AJ, what do you think? Lozon and Cerrone.
Man, these guys have... It's almost impossible. I don't even think that's going to happen on Saturday because this fight has been talked about for, like, decades, and it's never happened. And just up to recently, when it was supposed to be on the same card with Mauricio Rua and OSP, they pulled out because of food poisoning. But I'm still going to go with Cerrone. I think Cerrone has that one last fight, that one last win that he needs to be able to retire. He wins this fight, he's retiring. Lozon wins this fight, he's retiring. The loser is going to retire. I think this is the end for both
Everybody's
these guys.
Retiring.
They're all retiring, man. They're all going to be retiring on Saturday. But I think what Cowboy has is that head kick. If he's able to drop that head kick on Joe Lozon, it's over. And I think that's what's going to happen. It's going to be a TKO, and we're going to see both of these guys retiring on Saturday night. There's no way they can continue.
Lozon has said he's not going to retire on Saturday night. He's going to go home.
He will.
He said he's going to go home after the fight and think about it no matter what happens. Even if he gets knocked out, he's not going to retire right away in the cage. He's chosen not to do that.
He probably won't retire in the cage, but he'll think about it. And then he'll think about it long and hard if it's a TKO. I just think
you might be right.
The time has come for these guys. You know,
I've got Cerrone. I think Cerrone might knock him out, but I honestly don't think that he's got enough juice left in those kicks to do it. I think he just wins a decision. I think it goes a distance, and Cerrone wins on points by outstriking Lozon because he's a little taller and he's a little bit of a better striker. Like, he's just technically better, and I think his technique will get him through the fight.
I think Lozon is going to stay away from, like, that smart type of fight, and he's going to turn it into a slugfest. I think this is going to be the final fight where they're going to lay everything on the line, and if that happens, I think that's where the edge goes to Cowboy. I think he still has enough in that leg, man, to drop an opponent. And I can see that happening on Saturday. It's going to be a slugfest. Okay. Someone's going down.
If it's a slugfest, I think Lozon wins. I think if it goes to that fight, I think Lozon's got heavier hands. Lozon's got power, man. We can't forget.
He does. But he generally wins with, like, a smart play, man. And that's what I think is not going to happen on Saturday night. I think he's going to let it all go, man.
Lozon's got really good jiu-jitsu,
someone
too, but I don't think...
retirement before retirement, there's a reason for that.
They're all talking about retirement. They're almost 40 years old, and they haven't won
old,
in
man.
Two,
I'm
3 years.
I'm talking about retirement.
Yeah. I want to retire right now. All right, rest of the card here. I'm going to give you a parlay. We got Kevin Holland taking on Tim Means. I think Holland wins over Means.
I got
but
Tim Means.
I can't bet on Kevin Holland. I'm not putting him on my parlay. I'm going to give you my parlay right now. It's ready. I'm ready to go. Calvin Kattar, -235. I'm going with Kattar. I'm also going with Philip Haas over Daron Wynn. Mostly because Philip Haas is like 6 feet tall and a pretty good striker, and Deron Wynn is 5'6" and fights at 185 pounds. Like, that's too short for middleweight, guys. It just is. All right, it just is. You can't be 5'6" and fight at 185. You just can't. It doesn't make sense. I mean, remember Matt Serra? He was like 5'6". He fought at 170, and even that was a little like, all right, man, you're a little too short for the division. Cody Stamann over Eddie Wineland. I'm surprised Eddie Wineland is still fighting. Stamann is a pretty heavy favorite. I got Jeremiah Wells over Court McGee. I think Wells might stop him. That's an underdog pick here. Jeremiah Wells. And I'm going with RoboCop Gregory Rodriguez over Julian Marquez. Rodriguez, a heavy striker from Brazil. 10. Forget 10. Give me 20, baby. What's 20 get me? $20 gets you $147.15 over at bet99.com. Use that promo code ringside when you bet to get a matching deposit bonus up to $600. That is the Team Dave Parlay. Again, Rodriguez, Wells, Stamann, Haas, and Cater. AJ, you didn't like that Jeremiah Wells pick. You didn't like it.
No, I didn't like that one.
Why not? What's your problem?
Man, just, you know, this guy, I'm telling you.
You know this guy, he's undefeated in the UFC. He beat Worley Alves and Blood Diamond. Worley Alves is a savage. Worley Alves is one of the best 170 guys that the UFC has. And this guy finished him. Knocked him out. And he's fighting Court McGee, who, you know, he's been around for a while. 37 years old. He's on a couple fight win streak, but I don't think he's fighting the level of competition that Jeremiah Wells has. And I think Wells is just, you know, on the come up, powerful guy, good wrestling, strong, heavy hands.
Yeah,
I'm surprised. So what? He's 35 years old. How old's Court McGee?
37.
Yeah, there you go. And lots more wear and tear. Jeremiah Wells is dangerous. I think he's a good underdog pick. I'm going with Jeremiah Wells as one of my he's my only underdog pick, and he's only a slight underdog plus 100. Cater, Haas, Stamann, Wells, and Rodriguez. Team Dave Parlay, let's go. Freddie, you got one? I want to hear your underdog parlay. What do you got for me?
Emmett Lozon Means.
Ooh.
You're going with Emmett. Okay, man.
Main card. Yeah, he went with Emmett.
Yeah.
Freddie's going with Emmett. And
Freddie might have a point.
AJ
there,
and
but...
I going with Cater. So there's a Team Fred parlay, all underdogs, three fights. Josh Emmett, Joe Lozon, Tim Means. Damn. $20 gets you $450, $431.
Nice. Whoa, nice payout, man.
I mean, Fred, that's solid.
Cold ringside.
That's the Team Fred parlay. Emmett, Lozon, Means. It's possible. It's possible.
Like all three picks, man.
That's possible.
Kevin Holland is overrated, man. He'll go back to losing. He had a nice fight at I think last fight was his debut at 170, and he had a good fight, I remember. But I'm going to go with Tim Means to cause a surprise here. Tim Means a gritty veteran, man. If this fight is like a brawl, I could see Tim Means edging a decision.
I think he's a solid underdog pick, Tim Means. Plus 225. Like, I just don't trust Kevin Holland. He talks too much.
Yeah, but he started to hold back in his last fights. I mean, he's still talking once he feels he's got the edge. But remember, you got Tim Means at 38 years old. And don't forget, Holland is only 29 years old. Longer reach, taller guy, you know, very wiry, unpredictable. This is going to be a tough fight. But, yeah, Tim Means could pull it off because he's mean when he's in that ring. There's no doubt about it. But I don't know if he has what it takes to be Kevin.
It's a tough fight.
Cool nickname.
It's a tough fight for Kevin Holland. Like, it's not easy. I'm surprised he's such a heavy favorite because, you know, it's not an easy fight there for Kevin Holland. AJ, give me your parlay.
So I'm going to go with you, Dave, with Calvin for the win over Josh. I'm going to go with Donald Cerrone. I think Donald Cerrone is going to come out and like, this is going to be a slugfest. It's going to be in Donald's favor. And I think that head kick is going to be the lights out for Joe and his career. Then I'm going to go with Kevin Holland. I think Kevin Holland has that edge over Tim Means. Just because of the age factor. And just that sometimes, like, when he performs, man, he surprises me. And I think this is a night that, like, it's that same kind of, I think he has a good edge against him. Then I'm going to go with our good friend Buckley. I think Buckley's going to be able to take this one. And then I'm going to end it with the Damier. Damn, this guy better not blow it for me in the parlay. But I think Damier is going to be able to beat Guram.
Guram so is tough, though. Fight. That's a tough fight. Yeah, to Guram me, that's a coin toss fight. Damier and Guram. That's a good fight, too. Damier versus Guram. That's, I'm telling you, that's a good one. All right.
It's close, man. You got a 23-1 for Damier and 12-2 for Guram. I'm just looking at experience over this fight, but it is a toss-up. Yeah, this is where it's damn, I picked well, or damn, my parlay is over.
Calvin Kattar, Donald Cerrone, Kevin Holland, Joaquin Buckley, and Damir Ismagulov. $20 gets you $286.80. Wow, good parlay for AJ there. Nice payout. Damir, Buckley, Holland, Cerrone, and Kattar. Fred's payout was the biggest on that three-fight parlay. And there's Team AJ. Let's see. Let's pick some winners here this weekend, guys, for UFC Austin. UFC, one of these fight night cards, not in Vegas, not at the Apex, in Austin, Texas, in front of a real crowd. So that's kind of fun. That'll be cool.
It'd be awesome, man.
And what else is going on? There's a new Drake album dropping at midnight. His last album came out just 9 months ago, and now he's got another album coming out. Honestly, never mind. It's supposed to drop at midnight tonight. So we're going to have a new album from Drizzy Drake, guys. I know AJ is super excited for Drake's new album. A surprise. He just announced it a few hours ago. New album. Midnight, honestly, never mind. It's coming out. I don't know. It's a surprise, and I'm all for it. I can't wait.
An album, man. He's for Dave. He needs to make money on an album because he's lost so much money betting on the UFC on terrible
picks.
He's
all right.
If
he's doing fine.
To Ringside, he wouldn't need to be doing another album right now.
He was playing roulette recently and won a couple of million. I saw so he's okay, man.
Yeah, he's fine.
Hey, listen, on another note, I'm surprised you didn't mention your nemesis, man. Greg Hardy is back. He got signed into a bare knuckle fighting championship.
Who cares?
Multi-fight deal.
Who cares?
I only talked about that guy because he was fighting in the UFC. He's irrelevant to me. He was irrelevant when he played in the NFL, and now he's irrelevant again in bare knuckle fighting. I don't know why you had to bring him up, honestly. I thought you were going to bring up your big celebrity encounter today. Encounter today, but I had a celebrity encounter a couple of days ago that beats yours.
What?
10 times
over.
No,
you can't.
Mine is way better.
Well, listen, mine is hopefully he's watching Ringside Report, man. But I got a chance to, because here in Montreal starting this week, it's the F1 celebrations. Tonight, Thursday, is the kickoff night. Mind you, it's been raining like a biatch, man. It's been raining like crazy, so I'm sure a lot of things got washed out. But, F1 in Montreal, man. I met Lance Stroll today. Super cool kid, man. Only 23 years old. Think about this, Dave. The guy is 23 years old. I was yapping with his coach. I wanted to steal that jacket off of him. Not saying that. Mind you, I'm Italian. My mom comes from Naples. Stealing is part of our culture. But the thing is this. 23 years old. 23 years old. And, man, the guy's worth how many millions, man? What, 50, 60 million? I don't know.
I don't know who he is.
Very polite guy. Super nice kid, man. And I hope he does well.
Never heard of him.
He's a Montreal.
His father's a billionaire. Dave. Let's try to meet his father. I'd rather meet his father. Invest in Ringside Report. I forgot his name,
Just drop a couple of bucks, man. It.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about
Mr. Stroll.
If you're putting millions into Ringside Report, I'll call you Mr. Stroll.
Yeah, there you go, Mr.
Stroll. Yeah, exactly.
Let's take a stroll.
Funny. I don't care.
Because AJ, before the show, you were explaining to us that you met this Lance Stroll, and I had no idea who he was. You were telling Fred, and Fred knows because Fred likes car racing. I didn't know who you were talking about. I'm like, who's that? What is he doing?
He drives for a shitty team. You know, his team is like
not shitty.
Yeah,
the only
they're a shitty team, man.
F1 driver that I have heard of. Is Lewis Hamilton. Does he still drive F1?
He's
the best, right? Man. Is he the best still?
He usually wins in Montreal.
Oh.
He struggles.
Yeah, but he might win in Montreal. Montreal's always been a great place for him to win, you know? So who knows?
I couldn't tell you anything else about F1 other than that guy is in it.
terrible.
Man, I almost want to go with my first like NASCAR rant of the year, man, because like this season is getting good, man. Ross Chastain, he's my new favorite driver, man. He's pushing everybody. He's getting everybody mad. He's putting people into the fence. And after that, he's acting like, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. But I don't think he's really sorry. He's happy. He's number one in the standings right now. Ross Chastain, he's my pick to win this year.
Wow. I didn't even know NASCAR season was ongoing.
And he drives for Pitbull. It's a new team. Pitbull, the singer, you know?
Is that him? Oh, really?
Are you serious?
He's got a NASCAR team?
Yeah, well, he has a two-car team. So he has two cars. Last year, he had a one-car team, and Ross Chastain is the second car this year. And I expect him to win the championship, man. He's been the best driver this year. Plus, like I say, he's pushing everybody, man. He's making everybody mad, which is always good in NASCAR.
Listen, man, I'm glad you mentioned Pitbull because one of our listeners, well, actually one of our network family, Antoinette, is good friends with Pitbull, man.
Cool.
So who knows? Maybe we could get something,
well,
like some tickets to go see the race.
I was at Toys R Us the other day, and I ran into
Celine Dion?
I ran into AEW wrestler Danhausen.
Ooh.
What? Danhausen. What you guys don't know Danhausen? You know, he's Hook's tag team partner. You know, Danhausen. Come on, guys.
What is that, a comedy show?
Ah, jeez. Come on, man. You know, very nice, very evil. Danhausen. You know this guy. Everybody knows. Danhausen. He wrestles in AEW.
Yeah, you guys don't know this guy? He looks like...
Look at this guy.
What's he doing in Montreal?
He lives here.
Is he a mime or something? What is he?
No, he's evil. He's very nice,
I'm
but
sorry,
also...
Dave, but Lance Stroll is way cooler than this guy. And
incorrect.
Thank you, Freddie. Thank you.
Money counts in coolness. And,
no way.
And Lance Stroll is way richer.
I disagree. He may be way richer. I may give you that, but I know who Danhausen is, and I recognize him without his makeup
we
on.
Don't.
Well, you
don't.
But I don't know who this Lance Stroll guy is, so who really
cares?
You
do.
Know what I mean? Yeah, so what? So what? Danhausen is actually cool. I never heard of this Lance Stroll. Who's Lance Stroll ever beat? Danhausen, you know, he's wrestled Tony Nese on AEW.
Street and do a survey. You know who Danhausen is or you know who Lance Stroll is?
That's why I don't go to Crescent Street because there's a bunch of guys who don't know anything cool. All they know about is
F1s. Can Danhausen beat Johnny North? I don't think so.
Oh,
let's be honest. I just think if they were booked against each other, I don't think he'd beat our Johnny.
I think even Johnny would agree that if they were booked against each other, Danhausen would be booked to go over, brother. I think Danhausen would win.
No way, man.
Yes, he would.
No way. There's no way.
He would curse Johnny North. Johnny would be cursed, and he'd be in big trouble. That's how it works.
Is he a cheap imitation of Papa Shango?
No. You got to look him up, Fred. He's good, Danhausen. I'm telling you, he's good. He's a very talented professional wrestler. I'm surprised you don't know who he is.
Hold on a sec.
What?
Did you do what I did? Lance Stroll, big money. Talked about Ringside Report. Did your Danhausen, did you mention Ringside Report and your Dave Simon? You needed me there. I know you didn't.
No, I didn't.
Because,
I didn't.
Of course, man. I knew it, man. So
yeah,
what it comes down to is.
What am I going to run into the guy?
Listen, I'm Dave Simon. Look at me. I'm Dave Simon. You know who I am?
He doesn't know who I am. Yeah, exactly.
But
that's weird to do. I don't like that.
I'm Dave Simon. I'm from ringsidereport.net. I've been talking like WWE, AEW, UFC shit for like longer than probably you've been wrestling. So listen, come to our show if you want.
Did you talk to him at least?
Yeah, I talked to him.
Come on, Dave. Right. Yeah, what did you say? Ringsidereport.net?
No, I just
you,
I don't
you didn't
know.
Have like a figurine of him to sign or something?
No, they don't have. They haven't made one yet.
Oh.
I did.
So he's definitely not more important than Lance Stroll.
I did run into him in the wrestling toy section. There's no Lance Stroll action figure. All right, who's that guy? Anyways, there's no toys of him. No, there isn't. That guy is not a toy.
For sure, there is.
No way. Definitely not.
Car.
Get out of here.
Listen,
all right,
have
that's
you ever
enough.
Worn Tommy Hilfiger jeans or
no.
T-shirts or whatever?
Oh, they're racist.
That's Stroll, man.
It's a racist company.
What? Dave, blasphemy,
Tommy Hilfiger was on Oprah, and he's like, oh, I never wanted all these black people wearing my clothes. He said that shit like years ago in the 90s. You don't remember that?
Yeah, but that's why he got bought
over.
It's a racist
company.
Tommy's just a name, man.
I don't know about
that.
It's a name of a racist guy. You want to wear Hitler jeans? I don't think so, brother.
Well, if they fit well, man, I don't know.
You sick bastard. All right, that's it. I'm done with you, AJ.
Lawrence Stroll is worth $2.9 billion, man. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, man. Just drop some, Dave. Be nice, man. You know.
You think he's got an arrangement with his wife
to be bought?
Plus, he was born to a Jewish family in Montreal, man. Come on, Dave. You should love this.
Yeah, Dave. Oh, come on, bud. Well, you got to support your homies, man.
I mean,
how come you don't know him, man, Dave? Come on.
That's racist.
AJ knows him. AJ knows him.
I don't know.
I mean, you're our best shot to get the financing from him.
How dare you? That is double racist, Fred. That's crazy.
Now, forget it. Insane. You even talk to that Holly Hansen guy there, whatever his name is, and Dave's not going to do it, man. He needs me there when that happens. Yeah. Anyways, what I'm going to do is just to help Dave, I'm going to send a message on Instagram saying that Dave unfortunately didn't say who he was. And by the way, come to our show.
No, he knows now. He knows now. He knows now. I'll tell you about it. It's all right. He knows. But I feel weird going up to a guy. Hey, you're Danhausen, right? Yeah. Hey, you want to come on my show? It's like weird. Like you don't want that in your everyday life.
You
I don't.
Joe Rogan didn't do that shit when he started.
No, he does not do that. He has people to do it for him. That's why I have you.
Does,
so you go out and you do it. Like James tonight, you went out and you booked James. I don't have to go up to people and say, "Hey, come on the show." I get AJ to go and do the grunt work. You're the grunt.
PR Mark is doing a good job for us.
There you go. PR Mark and AJ, you guys do the work for me, so I don't have to. I do the other things. Like,
get the show ready.
Yeah. I'll be here tomorrow night with Johnny North. We'll be talking about Vince McMahon and Sasha Banks and whatever else happens in pro wrestling. Apparently, Randy Orton might be out for the rest of the year with a back injury. So there's a lot of terrible things happening to the WWE. AEW is doing all sorts of stuff. They've got a pay-per-view next weekend. Forbidden Door is next Sunday, not this Sunday, but the Sunday after. That'll be cool. AEW's Forbidden Door, AEW versus New Japan Pro Wrestling. I know AJ's very excited for that. And UFC 276 will be our next watch-along. And Money in the Bank will be happening at the same time. WWE Money in the Bank and UFC 276 happening at the same time in the same city. And we'll be covering both events.
Same city also?
Yeah, in Vegas. You didn't hear about this? WWE was supposed to do it at the at the football stadium.
Lions.
And then they had to move it to the MGM Grand because they didn't sell enough tickets. Because it's UFC's like International Fight Week. They got Israel Adesanya versus Jared Cannonier. And
That's
Holloway?
That's a tough card to go against.
Well, that's it. Isn't it Holloway Volkanovski too? Is that? Yeah, Holloway Volkanovski rematch and Adesanya Cannonier. How the hell is Volkanovski fighting again? He just fought in April. April 9th, he beat Korean Zombie. He's fighting July 2nd. That's a 3-month turnaround for the champ.
He's going to beat Max again also,
good
man.
Good for him, man. So,
yeah, great.
That's crazy. 3-month turnaround. Max, you know, he hasn't fought since November of 2021. Volkanovski's not getting a lot of time here. Max might catch him on short notice. Like, it's tough to get ready for a Max Holloway fight so close. But Volkanovski looked like he was on another level. But Max Holloway's fucking good. Ooh. All right. UFC 276 coming up in a couple of weeks here, guys. Just a couple more Thursdays before we preview that sucker. Not next Thursday, Thursday after, right? We're the 16th.
So
next week is the 23rd, and then the 30th we'll be previewing UFC 276, and then UFC 276 on Saturday, July 2nd, we'll be live in studio, and we'll be having the whole party. Yeah, you'll be here, AJ.
Listen, that's what I'm saying. We're gonna it's gonna be a busy day, like that Saturday, July 2nd. Freddie knows, man. Freddie's gonna be a very busy man that day. You know, there's gonna be a lot of action, a lot of big news that we're gonna report on. July 2nd, Saturday night, we can't let the cat out of the bag.
So what's your point, AJ? Get to the point.
My point is this. Is Freddie going to be in-house? I don't think so.
Probably
I'm not too sure.
Probably not. We'll see.
Probably not. But Johnny North should be there. Johnny better be there, man.
Okay.
And Uncle Ben should be there as well.
I'll be here tomorrow night with Johnny North talking professional wrestling. Thank you to Grimskull. You're the Super Chat Leader of the night. Thank you to Patrick C. Hamilton for supporting the Ringside Report Network tonight. Thank you to all the members, Patrick, Grimskull, Angelo Contagonis, everybody supporting the Ringside Report Network. We appreciate you very much. Thank you to James Boom Boom Mancini for joining us tonight. Always great talking to him. Angelo saying AJ sucks. I agree 100%, Angelo.
He waited till the
Bang
end of the show, man.
He's right. He's correct, though.
Thanks,
He's
Angelo.
Right. You know, what can I say? He's right. He's always right. AJ, thank you.
Goes for you.
And I'll be back tomorrow for more wrestling talk and Vince talk. This, I mean, who knows what'll break between now and tomorrow? It's crazy. Angela says, happy F1 weekend, everybody. I got to say, I think you're wrong about that. It's not F1 weekend, Angelo. It's Father's Day weekend. Happy Father's Day, everybody. It's Father's Day on Sunday. Show respect to your fathers and the fathers in your life, especially guys like me and Fred and AJ, because we are dads and we deserve goddamn respect and maybe some peace and quiet on Sunday. All right? Happy Father's Day. It's Father's Day weekend. Thank you, everybody, and we will see you again very soon here on the Ringside Report Network.
Please join in and give your support to Ringside Report Network. We've been providing expert coverage and commentary on both pro wrestling and MMA for over 15 years. Go to ringsidereport.com.